We will move on to case 5 for this morning, Hong Kong Electrical Chemical against Less. Mr. Flanagan.
Good morning. May it please the Court. I'm Thomas Flanagan representing Hong Kong Electrochemical Works, the judgment creditor and appellant in this case. This is the latest stop in a long journey trying to collect a debt on behalf of my client. I think the Court's inquiry this morning can be limited to some extent because we have an admission in the record that the initial transfer when the Riverwoods property was acquired was done because there was an IRS lien outstanding against the Less couple.
You know, I wasn't as persuaded as you seem to be in your brief that that was an actual admission. But what I would like you to talk about a little bit is the actual scope of the law on when either a constructive or a resulting trust occurs if a person, you know, as your opponent portrays this, a kind mother goes out there and tries to secure housing for her daughter and her daughter's family. Why, in this instance, does this equate to a resulting or a constructive trust versus simply an act of charity within the family?
Well, Your Honor, in the briefs that brief that was filed on behalf of the Less family, it was analogized to having somebody live in your basement or having somebody live with the mother in the, or mother-in-law in this case as well. That's quite different than having the indicia of ownership, where you actually get to have your own house separate from the mother-in-law, and you have dominion and control over the property.
Does the record reflect how much Ms. Werner paid as a down payment on the house in the 2002 transaction?
I believe it was a nominal amount, about $10,000. I'm not sure. There might have been no down payment.
And
Gary
the
Less was, I'm sorry, she was not at the closing. Gary Less was.
In 2002?
Yes, Your Honor.
Well. Okay. And does the record reflect whether she ever paid taxes on the house?
I would love to know that, Your Honor. We got no discovery in this case. So I don't know that, but, you know, I've never known a case where somebody passed. If you don't pay the taxes, you're out. If you pay the taxes, you take the tax deduction. Somebody, I imagine that Charlene Werner, being the title holder, paid the taxes, but I can't prove that because we didn't get the discovery.
Okay. Why didn't you get the discovery on that? Yeah. Those seem to be highly relevant inquiries.
Oh, I think so. We filed discovery, and there was were objections filed, and my motion to compel was denied as being untimely. I didn't disagree with that ruling, but now we're here on another matter. We did get some documents after that. We didn't get documents relating to the actual payment of the taxes for the Riverwoods property.
But you do have evidence in the record, I take it, that the mortgage payments each month were paid by the Lesses. Now, are those payments that are principal and interest, or are they principal, interest, taxes, and insurance, or what? What did those payments encompass?
Between 2002 and 2006,
right.
It's my understanding that the Lesses paid all that.
Principal, interest, taxes, and insurance. I mean, a lot of mortgage holders would insist on all four of those items.
The reason we don't have copies of the checks and we don't have the documents to back that up, but at the citation proceeding where Gary Less did testify, he said that he paid that. He and his wife paid that during that period.
Is this during the time his mother-in-law had the title?
Yes. Between 2002 and 2006.
Yeah. I want to just check on just a couple things here. Are they still in the house?
Yes, they are, far as I know, Your Honor.
And how old are the children?
They're in grammar school. I believe they're 6 and 7 or something like that.
At this date?
Still? Now at this point, the children are that young?
I've never met them.
Are they minors?
Yes, they're minors. I believe they're in grammar school.
Okay. Do you know anything about his source of income where he's managing, supposedly, to be paying at least $3,000 a month to stay in the house?
I would love to know more, but my understanding is that he's still in the futures business.
More, but I'm just...
The futures business.
Pardon?
At his citation proceeding, he said he was back trading again. He was trying out his futures business once more.
Does he work for somebody? Is there some attachment? I mean, why is the IRS out of the picture?
They did not preserve the lien. I believe it expired by operation of law. Right. So every taxpayer in this courtroom paid a little bit more because of this. Everybody who's able to dodge a tax lien that large, it has to be made up somewhere else.
We'll call it a deadbeat or whatever. The question is, how do we get to a resulting trust? And that's my problem.
We get to a resulting trust because they had an equitable interest in the house. Mere title was held first by Charlene Werner and then by the shell corporation established by his attorney. All the other indicia of ownership were vested in Michelle Less and Gary Less. It was purely a way to dodge creditors.
So critical to your argument, I think, given the state of the record, is the proposition that one could come to that conclusion even if the record doesn't show that the occupant of the house fronted the down payment.
Yes, Your Honor.
And Suwalski, I'm trying to remember, tell me which cases you're relying on for that.
Judge, I'd have to, in the limited time I have, dig through the brief.
That's all right.
One of them is the Key versus Key case.
Yes.
Right, right. And then once you get to, because the fulcrum upon which the Lesses are resting, I think, is that no property interest in the house can be shown at all. And if there is no property interest in the house, then all of the rest of your case falls apart. There's just nothing there for your clients to reach as judgment creditors.
Judge, I think that there's a lot of cases out there showing that when people put property in another person's name to defraud creditors, that can be reached by a court. Why wouldn't everybody do this? It works too well.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to reserve perhaps the last, I think, about 3 minutes to go.
Sure. Rebuttal. You are welcome to reserve what you want. Mr. Ward.
Court, my name is John Ward, representing Roth Holdings. With me at the council table is Sivia Maslianski, who's worked on the briefs with me. I'd like to start out very, very quickly with the waiver issue. Counsel raised in his reply brief this constructive trust, a resultant trust, and claims that he raised it in his opening brief and he raised it before the court below. However, when he cited where he raised it, if you look at it, every one of those is at the tail end of a wherefore clause where he's arguing the statute.
Well, but, I mean, he does quote language in his brief. What I wanted to ask you about is what appears to me to be an error of law in the district court's opinion, that being the notion that participating in the down payment is a sine qua non to having some sort of beneficial interest in a piece of property. That's not the law of Illinois, and there are many other indicia that the Lesses were effectively owning this house in some way that avoided creating any, or they were trying to avoid creating any equity interest in the house, because they certainly at the time had plenty of debts.
Your Honor, in order to have a resulting trust, which is really what we're talking about, this is not a constructive trust situation, resulting trust is an intent-enforcing trust. There has to be one of two things. You have to be able to show that there were assets of the debtor that moved and were then put in somebody else's name. There is absolutely
right. And so
no
we
evidence.
Have the mother who has an asset, the house, that she is intending to create the beneficial interest of the Lesses.
Ronnie, you put your finger on the question. There's absolutely no evidence that Charlene Werner ever had any intent to give anything to Gary and Michelle.
Why isn't the fact that I thought there actually was something in the record suggesting that she had gotten late on the taxes and that there had not been much of a down payment, and that they are handling all of the current payments on the house. And when they fall behind, the house has to be moved over to this Roth LLP entity. Seems to me there are plenty of indicia in this record suggesting that beneficial interest.
With all respect, I don't believe that's correct. The testimony, I think Mr. Less is deposition was taken, that's appendix in the 150 area, 160, 170. He testified that he and his wife paid the mortgage, which was supposed to pay the rent, which is supposed to cover the mortgage. That's fine. But he also admitted that he was frequently behind, and I think at the end, Charlene was a couple of months behind on the mortgage. She was afraid she was going to get foreclosed because she's a real estate operator. She buys and sells residences for her own account. This was just one of her inventory. She was also a couple of years behind.
It's more than one of her inventory. She goes shopping with her daughter and son-in-law, and they pick out the house that's going to keep the kids in the right schools and so on.
Right.
And she creates, I mean, one could say she's the front person. She makes it happen that they can buy the house without buying the house.
But they didn't buy the house. She borrowed $500,000 on her credit. That was her money. And if you read Mr. Lesser's deposition, it became very, very tense at the end. She was stalking them for the money. That's his exact words. This was not a one hand washes the other deal. She was in financial trouble. She tried to help. When she couldn't do it, she said, Gary and Michelle, I'm sorry, I got to sell this place. They then brought the Roth brothers in. Mr. Roth, Mitchell Roth, who had been a lawyer for Gary Less. Mark Roth has nothing to do with Gary Less at all. They were brought in as a commercial deal. They bought this property subject to a lease and paid money for it. They paid $590,000.
Like an ordinary commercial transaction. If you look at the Illinois Uniform Fraudulent Transfer Act, the district court didn't look at very many criteria under that statute. Looked at factor 8, the value of the consideration, but didn't look at the rest of the criteria. Didn't look to the fact whether it was to an insider. Didn't look at to the retention of possession or control of the property. Didn't look at all manner of things.
Your Honor, in the cases that have been cited by both sides, they're all insider cases. Yet most of them turn out.
There are 11 factors in this statute. I mean, we could go down them all because I don't think we have time to.
That's correct. But the point is, Your Honor, not only did Charlene force the sale because she couldn't keep up with the payments, but when the closing took place, it was $39,000. Where did that go? That went to Charlene. It did not go to the Lessons. That was not their money. She kept the money. It was her property. When the Roth...
But they had made all the payments in the meantime. I'm not surprised. I don't think it's inconsistent with the theory of a resulting trust that that money would go to her. I put it that way.
Then, Your Honor, everybody who has a triple net lease with anyone with whom they're acquainted has given them the property because that's the end result of that
logic. We need to have the rest of the evidence. We need to see whether there are reasons to believe that there's evasion of a creditor. Plenty of people aren't evading creditors if they simply live in their mother-in-law's basement.
Correct, Your Honor. And the evidence that was presented...
People are, though. I mean, so we have to decide who's who.
We have a record. The record is closed. Counsel, in fact, had specifically his discovery motion was denied by the judge. His request for a full evidentiary hearing was denied by the judge. He did not appeal. If you look at the notice of appeal, those are not there. That's been waived as well.
Well, you don't. A notice of appeal comes up from a judgment. Now, maybe he waived it by not raising it in his opening brief. That's a different matter. It has nothing to do with the notice of appeal, though.
But, Your Honor, the point is, and I can't emphasize this more, this was, for instance, the first transaction was done in 2002. Before anything arose, there was a tax lien, yes. That is a reason, really, for Charlene Werner to form an intention not to give anything to Gary Less. One does not give something to somebody who has a lien knowing that it's going to be taken the next day, just as you cannot go to a bank and say, lend me $500,000 so I can buy a house that the government's going to take the next day. There was an intent on the part of Charlene that this was going to be her property, her house, her economic investment. And it went that way in the beginning. There was no money, and there's no evidence of money, and the testimony is there was no money from the Lesses that went into the house. They paid rent. The fact that Charlene used it as mortgage payments, that's irrelevant. They paid rent for the house to her. She paid the taxes. She was behind on the taxes.
Does the record support that? I mean, if there's nothing in the record, then I don't know that we can go your way either.
There's an affidavit or a declaration from Charlene that she paid the taxes and that they paid an amount to cover the mortgage. There's testimony from Gary Less in his deposition and in his statement that at the end...
There are no tax receipts, I take it, from Cook County or wherever this...
I don't believe they put any tax leads. They put in a lot of evidence with respect to liens on the...
Your clients who would have this. I mean, I'm just saying, you know, what's sauce for the goose is sauce for the gander. If we don't have evidence of down payments and tax payments and the like. We just don't have evidence.
Show a fraudulent conveyance, the burden on the plaintiff or the claimant to establish that. They did nothing to establish it. They could have gone to the tax authorities and found out where the payments came from. They had Gary Less on the stand. They could have asked him all these questions. To the extent there's a failure of proof, it's because Hong Kong didn't go that way. Partially because, frankly, Your Honor, they didn't think up this trust theory until they got into this appeal. They did not argue it below. They argued the statute only.
When making payments in the amount of the mortgage, were they paying the bank or were they paying the mother-in-law?
It's not clear. Let's assume they paid the bank. That's
well,
no different than telling somebody.
I don't assume anything. I just want to know what you know. There's not an answer?
I think it is unclear. There's some testimony in the statement by Charlene. There's also a statement from Gary and a deposition from Gary. All I can gather from that is that the money was paid as rent, but it was intended to cover the mortgage.
Well, the mortgage at least. What in the present time, are they paying, you would call it a net-net lease?
There's a triple net lease, and they are significantly behind. The last time I asked, they were several months behind.
Behind where? The bank, or behind to the holding company?
The rent is due to Roth Holdings.
They're not paying the bank?
No, they're not. On the Roth Holdings deal, they are paying directly to Mr. Roth, and it's a triple net lease. They've got to pay the taxes, the upkeep, and everything else. And they are way behind. And frankly, I think he would love to get rid of them. But at this point, he has a lease.
Well, he's actually entitled to get rid of them next month, right?
The option in the lease expires in about 3 weeks.
And the purchase option calls for the property to be sold to a third party and for the lessees to keep the equity.
The only application for that clause, Your Honor, is that at the end of the lease, there's a provision that says this whole thing is terminated.
There's a
proviso that then says, if we have sold it and closed after you get out, we're not going to cheat you out of it. If you could have bought it, but then we let it expire. This is covering the period from which
they get to keep the proceeds of the sale.
Only if the structure of it would be that we sold before the end of the option and then closed after the end of the option, so that we would be depriving them of what they could have gotten because they could have exercised the option.
Plus, there's a dead letter. I
doubt it because it's conditioned on them not being in default under the lease.
Is that obviously the creditor is trying to get some value and some recognition of value. They weren't looking for a resulting trust. But if this 3 weeks from now, if they're way behind and whatever, they're obviously not going to exercise the option to buy. So the house gets sold out from under them, literally.
Right.
And there's going to be proceeds from the sale of that house.
They don't get them. Condition precedent to getting anything under this, either the option or even to getting this payment if the option is exercised, they have to be up to date on the lease. And they are not. They have not been since almost the beginning. Mr. Less, very frankly, has lots of dreams, but very little accomplishment. He has been in and out of trading business. He's had several restaurants he's run. He's been in and out of the Army-Navy surplus business. He has been everywhere. He's unable to earn a living. His wife basically works as a clerical staff, brings some money in. They had a very, very wealthy friend named Terry McKay who opened up a trading operation in partners with Michelle.
All right. I think we can wrap this up.
Sorry for getting too excited, Your Honor.
All right. Thank you very much. Flanagan?
Briefly, we did mention evidentiary hearing and discovery only in one or two sentences in our briefs, and the reason is Rule 69 contemplates rapid enforcement of judgments rather than endless bickering, endless arguing about documents. I think there's enough before this court to find that there was a fraudulent conveyance and that these transactions were done the way that they were done, not as a business venture, not as an arm's length venture, but to avoid creditors. First, the IRS, and second, my client, and of course, there's other smaller creditors who are not before the court at this point. I don't want to seem like the nastiest person in the world kicking the kiddies out of the schools. They have the money. They can stay there. And they moved from Highland Park to Riverwoods, and that's not the same school district. So the whole story about for grammar schools anyway. So the whole story about staying in the same school district is not correct, as is a lot of the testimony that Gary Less gave us when we finally got him under oath in the conference room at my office.
You say they have the money?
I believe so, family money.
But Roth Holdings isn't getting it, apparently.
I don't know, but look at the legal fees in this case.
If you take over the property through resulting trust or something, then Roth Holdings, they, of course, they're a defendant here. They lose the house or whatever. Everything, whatever they had in it, gets subtracted out of that as well. I mean, they lose that.
Yes, Your Honor. They would get notice at a judicial sale, and that would be the...
They lose that because they participated with him or aided and abetted or what?
They participated in the fraud. They talk again and again about how Mitchell Roth is such a good friend. How could you ever get a lease from a landlord like that, where all the adverse lease provisions are stricken out? No down payment. You're a bad credit risk. Simply to help out a friend and avoid the judgment. I found out about this transaction the day I filed my reply brief and the motion for summary judgment. That's how close the timing was. They saw the judgment coming, and they took the house out of the mother-in-law's name and put it in a shell corporation controlled by the registered agent for the shell corporation that they were doing business under. The Lesser Shell Corporation, not the Roth Holdings that holds title to the property now. So in closing, as Ira Gershwin said once, it's good, nice work if you can get it. Most people pay their debts. Most people pay their taxes, and they don't have some sort of exotic scheme with the mother holding title and then their buddy setting up a Delaware corporation holding title. We're in the middle of a real estate meltdown. And the more that these sort of scams are allowed to proceed, the worse this country will be. Now, you're deciding a case, not the future of this country, but I think what went on here is clearly a fraudulent conveyance, and this court has the power to send it back to the district court, sell the house, or have them pay the debt and we'll release it. The kids can stay in the school, we can get our money, and life goes on. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Thank you to both counsel. We'll take the case under advisement.